Hello, everybody. I'm David Rothberg, and with me today is Al Friedberg. Al, how are you doing?
Okay, David. Very well. You?
Very well, thank you. So we're here to talk about the first quarter of 2025, and it's a pleasant task because it was a very pleasant quarter. In fact, before we start talking about the quarter, I just want to tell listeners that it's my pleasure to occasionally take walks with Albert. And the last walk that we had, he was so hot. He was so hot in his calls that I felt like I couldn't get too close. I was actually burning up. That's how hot he was. Can we talk about your great success of the first quarter? Not to put pressure on you, and not to say that it's predictive of anything in the future, because we have to be mindful of our obligation to say that past performance does not predict future results. But still,
absolutely,
just take a moment to glow a little bit about how you negotiated your way through a labyrinth of tariffs, Trump pronouncements, and Twitter tweets, and God knows what. How did you do it?
I'm not sure I can answer that question.
Try your best.
All right. We faced something that we had never faced before. I don't mean so much in terms of market volatility, but in terms of policy. I think that this is something that we haven't seen, we never saw. And even when there were periods in which the Fed took action against inflation and raised rates. I mean, we knew what to expect. You know, we didn't know how much or how big the increase would be or how soon it would be. But here, we had some inkling that Trump wanted to impose tariffs, but we weren't sure whether he was for real. We weren't sure whether he was serious about it and how serious. And how much? We had absolutely no idea. So luckily, what we did was, I guess what we did right was we sidestepped the area of most uncertainty, which was the equity market. And concentrated on gold, even though it was a position that we already had. I mean, because we felt relatively comfortable with gold, because gold did not have any of the features that could sink it because of tariffs, meaning earnings would be a problem given the tariff policy. So that would affect equities. Economic conditions would be a problem. It would affect margins. It would affect sales. Revenues. So, and it's possible even that it would affect bonds if tariffs had an inflationary impact, which it was sure to have a one-time rise in the price and the price level. But maybe it would have a derivative effect. Maybe there would be a second and third wave of price increases following that. So there were two areas, bonds and equities, that were clearly in a situation of great, great uncertainty. That was not the case with gold. It was doing well, meaning the prices were rising. The reason behind it, we all know, we've talked about it many times before, which is very systematic approach by almost, I would say systematic, I'm not sure it's systematic, but it's very frequent purchases by central banks, many central banks, not just one central bank. So the idea was that gold was becoming a more was becoming an asset in which central banks had were having more confidence in, given what was going on. So we stayed there, we concentrated there, we built a large position and watched it very closely. We had a number of scares along the way, sharp reactions along the way, but we were unmoved given what was going on. And then something happened, which always happens, which is the the market began to marry, to put together this rising price of gold with tariffs in some way, either because it was going to have a recessionary impact and therefore the bullish for gold because the Fed would lower rates. There was something about it, or because, and this has been sort of the philosophical view of the market, that the US was losing its exceptionalism, and that the US was no longer either the currency or the fixed income market that central banks or other countries would want to own. And even a feeling of distrust that all kinds of agreements that were made were being ripped off, were just being ripped unilaterally. These tariff agreements were built over many, many years, 70 years, maybe 80 years. We had what's called the General Agreement of Tariff and Trade. It gathered a lot of countries. It was a lot of work to put them together. And yet, in one day, Mr. Trump ripped those contracts and he said it's no longer valid. So there was this feeling of distrust. And that helped the gold market. But then everything started being connected. Tariffs and distrust and lack of confidence and economy. And so for us, it became a little bit more. And now it became a little more dangerous. It's no longer going on its own. So we began to ease out of our gold position. We have eased out of our gold position. I'm not sure. Today the market is up quite a bit, so I'm not sure it was the right move. But we did ease. We're still long, but not in the same proportion or quantity. We expect to go back. We don't think that the move is over, and because that feeling of distrust and lack of confidence is there, and it's real, it's palpable, and it's going to have to be expressed eventually in higher gold prices. So I guess that's like a the short and long, that's best that I can tell.
Well, there was the argument there was the argument that gold was the new Tina, that as equities were the Tina during an era when rates were 0.5%, gold was the new Tina when you couldn't trade equities and you were anxious about bonds because you didn't know whether there was going to be a flight away from American assets or whether there was going to be inflation as a result of the tariffs. But there's another thing about gold that I haven't heard talked about, maybe because it's too impossible, just too large a concept to actually contemplate. And that is the possibility that with tariffs and the destruction of free trade, that you have a heightened possibility of war. And gold is the ultimate asset if that happens. Do you sense that at all, or is this just something that is a thing in my mind?
It's not unreasonable. I think that it makes sense. I think the fragmentation that we're going through is a likely background for eventually war. It is possible, and so that could be behind the move too.
I remember, I don't know, I can't remember if it was your father or if it was a contemporary of your father's who once said to me, or maybe it was just related to me, I can't really quite recall it specifically, that everyone should own 30% of their portfolio should be invested in gold, and you should hope that gold goes down. You should hope that gold goes down. Which is, it's a reasonable thing to, it's a reasonable homily to recall at a time like this.
It really is.
So moving ahead, like it's your success, the returns of the Global Macro Fund, I'm speaking about it in particular, but the Asset Allocation Fund also did very well, is largely a function of a really committed gold position in the first quarter that you eased out of, and now you are long stocks. You are long
Yes.
stocks, And is it strictly for technical reasons that bounced off as many technical analysts have pointed out, areas in particular, I'm thinking of the Magnificent Seven, where they were supported over the past 20 years, trend lines have held. Is that the point, or what you're thinking about stocks now?
Right. I would say this, that the market became very, very, it became overly bearish. When I say overly bearish, I mean this. In the near term, and we know there's going to be some deals, and we started with assumption that it will take 3 to 6 months before Trump actually reverses some of those tariffs. I'm not so sure. Here now he will reverse all of it, and I'm pretty sure that a minimum of 10% will be kept, and maybe we will settle around 12, 15%. I'm not sure. Right now, the average tariff rate is about 26 or 25, 26%. And we're hoping that at the very least it goes on in half. So, but it would take a few months. But I think that the market took a very unilaterally, took uniformly. Took a very heavy bearish view of this, thinking that now we're heading to a depression or something of that sort. It could be, it may happen, but it was very, very one-sided, very crowded. There was a lot of shorting. A great majority of stocks were hitting 1 year lows. There was almost nothing that was making new 1 year highs. We had a lot of option activity. I mean, we saw VIX hit a panic level almost of 60%. That was huge, and stayed above 40 for a while, and even now is reluctantly falling, but it's still at a 23 or 25% level. So there was a lot of bearishness. I thought that that was a little bit overdone in the near term, and I got comfortable enough to go long. So we are long stocks. We have been long for a few weeks. We also long. We did it by way of index, an index, the S&P. I wasn't about to start selecting which sectors will do better. What I did notice is that the most heavily shorted stocks did the best. But that's probably par for the course. That's what happens in this kind of rallies. And we also built up a nice long position in the home builders. Again, for now, technical. I think that eventually they will have to go up because we have said this many times before. There is a gap, a fairly large gap, between what has been built or being built and the demand for it. So we think that these stocks are very well priced and their future is bright. But other than that, I would say our exposure today to stocks, total exposure to stocks is around it's around 140% of assets. So we are 40% more long than the market. Let's put it that way, right? 140%. So yeah, I'm still comfortable with it. If we start throwing caution to the wind, and more people cover and people begin to feel comfortable with the tariffs. Today, there was a surprising article in the journal by the Secretary of Treasury, Bessent, and he came out very strongly in favor of tariffs. I was very surprised, very surprised. I was under the impression that he was put in a difficult position and that he was working to convince Trump to lower those tariffs to get rid of them, but it's not the case. So it's a little bit more worrisome. I still think that somewhere between 3 and 6 months, we're going to be lowering them because we're going to see the impact on the economy, which I believe is the economy is by the looks of it, at least the last statistics that we have, economy is so strong, but that data is old. That data is from February, March, April. We are still not gathered enough of the up-to-date data. We're seeing a lot of weakness in the economy, many, many spots of weakness. And so I think that the economy will enter in a sharp, short, maybe sharp recession. And that between that, which implies rising unemployment, and the fact that the revenues from tariffs, which on which Trump had expected a large increase in revenues. We mentioned $600 billion a year. It won't be coming in. We're very convinced that those revenues will not be coming in, will not materialize, and it will be much less than $600 billion. So the combination of those two things, plus the fact that, as we know, elections are coming up in the U.S. Very soon, so that there'll be some anxious people on the Republican side wanting to make sure that Trump reviews this position. So I still think that that will happen, but if the market gets very comfortable, we would be sellers because tariffs cannot be good. They just cannot be good. We're going to end up protecting inefficient producers. We're going to end up burdening the world trade with enormous costs, and there's going to be a lot of cheating. And the one thing that people don't realize, the one thing that will happen is it will corrupt government. They will see a tremendous amount of corruption. We see sectors coming to the president asking for exemptions, part exemptions, exemptions for this, exemptions for that. And so there's going to be a maze of regulations, a maze of different numbers for different things. And what on the surface, it looks like a 20%, let's say, tariff. In reality, we have hundreds of different tariff rates. And people at customs will be looking at books that will have thousands of pages to try to figure out what the particular tariff will be for this good and for that good. So that alone is not only inefficient and not only costly, but also adds to corruption. The power of lobbies, the et cetera. So I'm hoping that it goes away, but if it doesn't go away, I'm not going to be very bullish. That's my point. I think I want to be out of the market once the sentiment has become a little more two-sided.
Well, I mean, the equity prices during an environment of recession tend to fall by between 30 and 40%, depending on the time series that you're looking at. So it's hard to either I'm reading the data wrong, or there seems to me to be a feeling of complacency. It's a strange kind of bifurcation between, on one hand, a buoyant stock market, on the other hand, very negative sentiment that people have about the economy, numbers that still show a robust economy. It's very difficult to read, but it would seem to me that in an environment like this, you have to tread very lightly. You have to be cautious.
You have to tread lightly, or you have to be very nimble, right? I
Or you have to be
mean,
very nimble, or you have to be very nimble.
So you want to stay in liquid areas. You want to stay in areas that you can liquidate very quickly. That's been our motto. We want to be able to liquidate everything within an hour or less. And I think for the most part, other than the home builders, which maybe will take a couple of days, but at most. But S&P, as you know, is extremely liquid. Gold is extremely liquid. So we want to stay in the liquid side because these markets require that type of thing. You have to stay liquid enough to take advantage of changes in sentiment. It's changes in sentiment more than anything else, more than the statistics, more than the numbers that we are going to see. Changes in sentiment is what is going to make the difference, I believe.
Let's talk about the United States versus the rest of the world. You started your business during the during the breakdown of Bretton Woods, and you were a very active foreign exchange trader in your earlier days. We're seeing now a market in which equity prices, there were several instances a week before last where you saw equity prices fall, bond yields rise, in other words, bonds fall, and at the same time, the dollar falling. So you have like a revulsion against all things American. Are you looking abroad now, either on the equity side, on the debt side, or on the foreign exchange side? Are you thinking about that?
No, not on the equity or on the bond side. Sometimes we look at the currency side. The truth is that theory says that the dollar should go higher when they
That's
raise
right.
tariffs. That's what theory says. The dollar instead has come down. It's come down to a multi-month low. I think it made its low about I'd say about 2 weeks ago, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, some of this may create an opportunity because the dollar should go higher. And I think theory should work out. But what is happening is that we've had a lot of portfolio managers, a lot of pension funds, a lot of big investors move out of US stocks and move out of a lot of US bonds and go to Europe. And that had a very strong effect or impact on foreign exchange markets. I think that shift took place. I think that shift took place for now. And I think that the dollar now should move higher. And so really what we should be doing if we want to look at the foreign exchange market is we should be buying dollars. We should be selling euros and maybe selling yen or pounds or so on. We should be doing that. I don't think there is enough money to be made at the moment in with these positions. So I haven't done it, but my tendency would be to actually do that, to buy dollars, to buy US. The other area that we're looking at, and we have actually put on a small position so far, is betting that there will be a very substantial slowdown in global trade. And to do that, we went short recently, very recently, base metals in London, because they would reflect very closely patterns in cycles in global trade. So that we're looking at. But as to your question, are we looking at any assets, equities in Europe or anywhere else? No, we're not. And I don't think I know enough of them anyway to be able to say that they're a good investment. I'm not sure I know enough of them now.
You were an active foreign exchange trader, and you were also an active commodity trader, and you've become a bit of an active commodity trader recently. You were during the first quarter long cocoa, and you were interested in soft commodities generally. What's your take now on that
Yeah,
sector of the
I
market?
yeah yeah commodities, a few months ago it looked like commodities had reached the bottom. Global trade was on the upswing. The economies around the world were on the upswing until we began with this stupidity really of tariffs. I think it looked like we wanted to be long commodities at the time. There's been a long decline. And many of these commodities had reached very interesting levels. So we thought that we wanted to be long commodities. But ever since what happened with tariffs, we think that it's probably too early to be long. And there's some areas that one could be short because global trade will slow significantly. Even if we don't go into recession, I think global trade will slow significantly. So yes, now cocoa is one commodity that we still own. We've owned it for many, many months, and we still think it's a good case. Poor crops in Africa, the main growing area, there were very poor crops in the last 2 years. There's been a slight, very, very slight improvement for this in this mid-season in mid-Africa, but it doesn't seem that we're back to the large crops that we had in 2019, 2020. It doesn't seem like we're going back to that. And now the question is, what happens to demand? Prices went up a great deal already, and it's possible that demand will be reduced. We're not so sure yet. So we're still waiting to see what happens with grindings, which have been a little bit better than expected. And we want to see what happens with the main crop, which begins at the end of the year. But other than that, I don't find any commodities from the long side. I don't find any commodities from the long side to be interesting. And
Okay.
as I say, we went short some of the base metals for the moment.
So let's circle back just briefly to the stock market. You're long a basket of stocks in the form of indices, but you also and this basket you bought for technical reasons, largely technical reasons. And as you say, you have to be nimble. But there are some segments of the market that you're long for fundamental reasons, and one of those is home builders. Are there others, or are those that you're thinking of?
Well, there are others. I think that the Max 7 still have some way to go. They're very good companies. They're not like they would be sort of the last ones to be affected by a weak economy. They have, I wouldn't call them monopoly positions, but semi-monopolistic positions. And so, you can count on them to remain relatively strong. And there probably are other areas too. I'm not a micro analyst. I can't tell you which stocks will do well or which won't do well. So for the most part, other than themes like home builders, for the most part, I prefer to stay with S&P. Don't forget the S&P. Because the way it's constructed, we'll always have the largest companies.
Building the
It
largest
built
business.
its own momentum. It built its own
Yeah.
momentum, right? It's
Yeah.
because those stocks that have momentum in market cap move to the top, and they represent the largest percentage. So, in some way, we are participating in those areas of success, like the Mag 7, right? In some way.
Okay. Well, Al, I think that this is going to be a short conversation because normally we structure our conversation around a series of questions that that clients submit to us, and we've answered all those questions,
Yeah,
and you have a
the
relatively.
one, David, I just wanted to say one thing. I remember now, the asset allocation owns a fairly large position in gold stocks. And that's one area. I
Right,
mean, you
right,
asked
right.
before, is there another
Right.
area, another sector?
Right.
They are very cheap. And I think
Yes.
everybody says that. So it worries me, when everybody says that. But they are very cheap given the price of
No,
gold.
they are.
So, yeah, so we do have
No,
a
you look at a chart of the gold stocks and you look at the
Yeah.
chart of gold, they look like two the taxonomies of two entirely different beasts.
Exactly. So we are very, very bullish gold stocks, and the asset allocation fund has them. We don't own it in the global macro because we thought that we wanted to have, as I said before, a very liquid position. They're not such big traders, these gold stocks. So we prefer not to be long that in the, but asset allocation is a much smaller fund, and they can own it. And I think it responds to your question. Are there other sectors? I think gold stocks is definitely a very interesting sector.
Yeah,
That's with
can you explain why it is that they've been so outpaced by the metal itself? I mean, there's often a difference, but I've rarely seen a difference as wide as this one.
I don't know either. I think that the market is disappointed or has become disappointed with what some of these gold companies have done when prices were higher in the past, when prices went up in the past. And there's been a lot of waste of money. There's been takeovers that were losers, real losers, and money was wasted. And so there is a lack of confidence in management generally. And I think that those people who want to buy stocks instead of buying actual bullion, can, instead of buying the metal itself, which may be difficult for them to buy, now they can buy it buying an ETF, right? They can buy the
GLD,
GLD
GLD,
ETF.
right,
Yeah, so
right.
that's taken probably the place,
That makes sense.
and that's
Yeah.
replaced a lot of the buying of gold stocks.
Yeah.
But they're
Yeah,
cheap.
that makes sense.
We left them very cheap.
Okay, should we since we've we're kind of short on things to talk about today, should we take advantage of that to just
Yeah, let's go get have coffee. Let's get a coffee.
well, but before we do, should we just say a few words about Warren Buffett? He announced his retirement yesterday. Can we pay him a moment's homage? I know that you have great respect for the man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Maybe
Yeah.
history's greatest investor.
Amazing. And it's not amazing. I mean, he has a very good mind, obviously. But I don't know if you read the article by Zweig in which Zweig says that he read an enormous amount, enormous amount. He used to walk around the house reading annual reports and without noticing anything that's going on, like just reading constantly. So I'm not sure what the I don't remember anymore what it says, but in his lifetime he must have read 100,000 annual reports. Like it's an enormous amount, but it just shows you that you could have a lot of ability and you can have a great mind, but if you don't read a lot, if you don't educate yourself, it's not going to work. So it's not just luck and it's not just brains, but it's a lot of work, a lot of work. And this man put in a tremendous amount of work, and he had an obsession about stocks. I think that the article said that he always heard that Spinoza was God obsessed or got drunk or something of the sort. And
Yeah.
Buffett was stock obsessed, or stock drunk.
Right.
And it's true. I
Right.
mean, he spent an enormous amount of time reading these things. He understood them well. And there you are. I mean, the man is probably the greatest investor ever, really, in the history of investing.
Yeah. Yeah, as I think another way to another homily about that, Mark Twain's as Mark Twain said about writing, 10% inspiration and 90% perspiration. I mean,
Yeah,
he had a gift, but he certainly had the determination.
certainly, certainly. Yeah,
Yeah. Okay, well, perhaps the brevity of things to talk about speaks to the excellence of the performance in the first quarter, and if that's the case, I hope we speak very briefly 3 months from now.
very good. Hope so. Hope so. Thank
Okay,
you,
Al,
David.
best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You
Thank
too. Bye-bye.